Hello, I'm Pat Rivers, and in this segment of Rochester Speaks, our first in-studio interview since before the pandemic. We've been conducting interviews via the telephone the past year and a half, and it's actually nice to see a real person in the studio. And our guest with this special honor is Kurt Long, President and CEO of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. Welcome, Kurt.
Thank you, Pat. I'm really excited to be here, and as we get ready to get back to giving concerts for the first time the start of the pandemic, I'm really honored to be your first in-studio guest.
It is a special moment, isn't it?
It is.
It's nice to see an actual human in here for a while, getting the cobwebs off the microphone and everything. Well, we've been waiting a long time for news of the RPO and when we'll be able to go see concerts again. And we're going to talk about some magnificent things you have coming this summer with the RPO. But first, how has the RPO endured during this pandemic?
Well, it has certainly been a challenge for the organization, and our core business is presenting live concerts for live audiences with a large group of musicians on stage, usually at the Eastman Theater, although at other times in other venues around the community. And we have not been able to do that since early March of last year. So we've had to make quite a few adjustments. We knew that our finances would be impacted negatively by the shutdown. We didn't know how long it would last. We had not had much experience in terms of creating digital content and streaming performances, and we've had to embrace that and learn that on the fly. I think orchestras tend to be very traditional and do the same kinds of programs over and over again, and we're generally not very good at experimenting and trying new things. So in the pandemic, we've had to embrace a new approach and new ways of making music and continuing to bring music to the community. When we looked nationally at how orchestras were responding to the pandemic, there were a few that basically just shut down and said, we're going to ride it out and wait until things get better. And they furloughed their musicians, they furloughed their staffs, and they went into hunker down mentality. And our approach from the beginning was, we are going to go through some belt tightening and find some ways to cut expenses, but we'll continue to employ our musicians and continue to make music. And our hope was that even if we weren't able to generate ticket revenues through live concerts, that our donors would stick with the RPO and continue to make donations to keep the RPO going through the pandemic. And we're extremely grateful that it has, in fact, proved to be the case. And while we have had some sponsors and some businesses and some donors cut back on their giving, we've had others that have dug deep to really make sure the RPO could keep going and make it to the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're excited. Thanks to their help, we're finally getting to the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, I understand. We are the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra is proud of its donors.
Indeed, we are. We're one of many orchestras in cities all across the country, with about 1 million people in the metropolitan statistical area. But when you look at the breadth of support for the RPO in this community, it's pretty astonishing, really. A whole lot of people in this community love their RPO and support the orchestra and support our great musicians and continue to help us make music.
Every time I go to a concert, I'm reminded of what a gem this is to have in our city here. And it's just wonderful that we have an RPO of this caliber and that it's still going strong.
It is really quite an accomplishment for a city this size to have such a fine orchestra. Its reputation is very high all across the country and all across the world within the orchestral field. And we're actually just a couple years away from celebrating the orchestra's centennial. And that will be a really exciting time because it will let us look back at the history and celebrate the great traditions and great accomplishments of the orchestra over the decades. But also it gives us a chance to kind of rethink what Rochester needs out of its orchestra as we enter our second century. And it gives us a chance to both continue to build on the traditional side of our business and build on that great legacy of artistic accomplishment, but also to embrace some new ways to connect with new audiences and present concerts in new venues and be a little bit creative in thinking about what the future might bring.
You were doing that before the pandemic, a lot of these creative concerts where you were tying in the movie to the score and you'd watch the movie on the big screen. That was very novel. That was a wonderful thing.
Those have been really a pretty amazing success story for orchestras, and in particular because the music for many of the films is truly symphonic and amazing music, and it really adds to the experience. And having the chance to come and see one of the Star Wars movies or one of the Harry Potter movies with the orchestra playing the score live is really a magical experience. And it has also been a great way for the orchestra to bring in some new audience members, people that don't normally come to our concerts that have become avid RPO fans.
Mm-hmm. And then the Pop series, of course, which is remarkable with Jeff Tysick at the helm there. And we look forward to the holiday pops, the gala holiday pops every year. I was so sad we didn't have it this past year.
Yes, Jeff has been doing phenomenal work on our Pop series for many, many years now. And I've loved having a chance to get to know Jeff a little bit and work with him. And I really admire the way that he's not just recycling old programs and not just doing the same old Orchestra Pops programs. He's really, every year, he's looking to put together new programs. Pops frequently is a nostalgia buy, and many people are looking to reconnect with music of their youth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as every cohort gets older, the music that they're nostalgic for changes. And so to keep the Pop series fresh, Jeff is continually looking back to different music of the past and figuring out ways to do arrangements that really make the orchestra shine and really celebrate some phenomenal popular music from over the decades.
Well, during this pandemic, there's been some changes that have happened. You have a new music director, Andreas Delfs. Did I pronounce that right?
You did indeed. Oh, and we were, as the pandemic was striking, we were supposed to be getting ready to enter Ward Sayre's final year. And Ward did fantastic work for the orchestra over his tenure as music director. And we had some fantastic concerts planned for his final season. But of course, the pandemic intervened, and we ended up not being able to present the many things that we had planned for Ward's final year. And as we were approaching the pandemic, we had a search committee that was out there looking for potential new music directors to follow in Ward's footsteps. And at the start of the process, we stepped back and we said, are there conductors out there that the orchestra has already worked with over the years who are seasoned and experienced music directors who have a track record of really showing commitment to a community and building an orchestra in a community, and who also get fantastic artistic results out of the orchestra? And there was a name that jumped to the top of the list. Andreas Delfs is a fantastic conductor who's worked with the orchestra many times over the last 25 plus years. And his primary residence is in Trumansburg, New York, so not that far down the road. And we had gone and visited with Andreas in January, just a few, couple months before the shutdown. And we were lucky enough that Andreas showed an interest, and he came and visited us in the first week of March last year, right before the shutdown. So we had great conversations with Andreas and progressed to the point where we invited him to become our next music director, and he agreed. So we are really thrilled to have Andreas coming on board. The orchestra is thrilled to have a chance to work with him. We're really excited at the programming he's put together for next year. And Andreas is already hard at work coming up with some really exciting plans for our centennial season, which will be coming up in 23-24.
So the centennial, tell us more about that. That sounds exciting.
It is. And the orchestra, let's see, the Eastman Theater opened in September of 1922. And the first performance by something that was called the RPO came in March of 1923.
Okay.
And then the RPO's first season was the 23-24 season. So we'll be celebrating the centennial of the hall in the fall of 22. And then we'll be celebrating the centennial of the orchestra in 2023 through the end of the 23-24 season.
So there's some big things ahead. 100 years, hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And again, you know, when you look back at the RPO over the decades, there's such an amazing legacy of world premieres and recordings and commissions and of great artistic accomplishments, great music directors that went on to lead amazing orchestras all around the world, and great musicians who got their start here with the RPO. And many of them made their whole career here with the RPO, but others moved on to positions in some of the leading orchestras in the country and in the world.
Well, like I said at the open, we're very lucky to have this in our community. So what is the biggest challenge orchestras of our size are facing today, besides the pandemic?
Well, I think outside of the pandemic, orchestras everywhere are facing a reality of a changing world. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of ways where the basic assumptions of our business model, which developed over many, many decades, are no longer as true as they used to be. And that's creating some significant challenges, but also, I would say, some opportunities for orchestras. So one assumption that the orchestra business model was built around is the idea that the vast majority of people who come to concerts will sign up for a whole season. And this idea that the whole business is built around season subscribers and loyal customers who come back year after year after year. If you're the president or CEO of an orchestra, your primary goal is just not to let the conductor program too much crazy new music, and you can be right. pretty confident that your subscribers will come back. And the reality is, over the last 30, 40 years, that the percentage of people that sign up for a full season subscription has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And we still love our subscribers, and we especially love our full season subscribers, but the reality is that about 80% of the people who will buy a ticket to come to an RPO concert in any given year are just going to pick and choose and buy single tickets.
I see.
And out of the 20% that buy a subscription, it's less than 5% that sign up for the whole season. So it's really, it's much less about programming to a core of audience members who have fairly set taste and preferences and the kind of music that they're looking for. And it's becoming much more programming eclectically and looking for different kinds of concerts to serve different kinds of audiences, and experimenting and kind of seeing what the community will support in terms of ticket sales and underwriting. And you mentioned earlier the idea of these movies and concert and how successful those have been for orchestras and bringing in audiences. And that's the kind of thing that we couldn't really do on our Philharmonic subscription series, but we're finding there's an audience in Rochester that loves those events and buys tickets for them.
Oh, yeah. They're spectacular. Yeah.
Yes. Second way that the business model is also changing is we're used to expecting that we're going to be seen as being one of the pillars of the community and being able to take it for granted that donors are going to see having a great orchestra as a priority in our community. And again, while we really love and appreciate the dedicated supporters we have in the community, the reality today is that some philanthropists look at institutions with suspicion, and they care about causes, and they want to know what we're doing to help Rochester address its challenges. They want to see the orchestra as a force for good and as a part of helping the community move forward. So less an end, but a means of positive change in the community.
You're listening to Rochester Speaks. My guest is Kurt Long, president and CEO of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. And I have some good news. Our orchestra is coming back, and we've got some great things that we're expecting this summer. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing.
We are going to be presenting a summer season for the RPO, unlike any summer season we've ever done before in our history. Normally, the orchestra starts our winter season in early September and plays pretty much every week through September, through the fall, through the winter, through the end of May and maybe into early June. And then we have a sporadic summer season, usually 3 or 4 weeks, usually focused in July. But this year, due to the pandemic, back in late last summer, we made a decision that there was no way we were going to be playing concerts in the fall. And we took 8 weeks that the orchestra normally works in the fall, and we asked the orchestra if we could shift them to June and August. And the orchestra said that seemed like the right idea at the time. And so we are going to be starting a 14-week-long period of outdoor concerts starting next week.
So, wow.
We will be starting with 4 concerts at the Parenton Amphitheater. First concerts will be on June 3rd and 4th. And then again a week later on June 10th and 11th. And our music director designate, Andreas Delfs, will be with the orchestra to conduct
those
2 programs. And then the following 2 weeks, we'll have Enrico Lopez-Yanis joining the orchestra to conduct some more popular kinds of programs. There'll be a Latin music-themed program on that 3rd week, and then a movie music theme program to close out June. And then we also are excited to have a date at CMAQ on July 3rd. So we'll be, I believe, the first program at CMAQ as it's opening in July.
That's right. Okay.
And that will be a patriotic 4th of July themed show. We're hoping we'll have fireworks. We're still working out a couple hurdles to make sure we can add fireworks to that. So
well, that'll be something.
Those first 5 weeks are set. And then as we look through the rest of July and August and into Labor Day weekend, we have much of that lineup finalized at this point, but we haven't announced it yet, in part because we're waiting to see how guidelines about masking and testing and vaccinations and distancing are going to evolve and change over the next 3 months.
Okay, then I'm sure there'll be a lot of changes with that. So you will require a proof of vaccination, right, at these outdoor concerts?
We will. So we've been monitoring changes in the New York State guidelines and in the CDC guidelines. We've been so fortunate that from the beginning of the pandemic, Dr. William Valenti has been serving as our medical advisor, and he's given us fantastic advice about how to keep our musicians safe. And
that's true.
As we're looking to get back to having audiences, we want to make sure we're keeping our audiences safe.
Well, I can tell you, I'm excited to hear this. This is a sign that we're slowly coming out of this long, dark tunnel of this pandemic that we've been in. Now, you mentioned Parenton Amphitheater is where you're going to have a lot of these concerts. I never knew there was an amphitheater in Parenton.
There is. It is a beautiful facility. It's right behind the town hall and the community rec center there in Parenton. And it's there's kind of a tent covering over a cement circular stage.
Okay.
And then there's a grassy hill right next to it.
Okay.
And in the orchestra's played a couple concerts there over the last 10, 12 years. And without any kind of distancing restrictions, you can put about 3,500 people there on that hillside.
No kidding.
But we're planning, at least again for the month of June, we're going to limit attendance to about 500 people.
Okay.
In part because our recent audience surveys have said that our audience members are comfortable coming back to live concerts, but they want to have some reassurance that they're going to not be shoulder to shoulder with other folks. So we're listening to our audiences and listening to our medical advisor, and that's the plan for the first 4 weeks.
Will masks be required? I'm just thinking. I don't know. How does that work?
So following the CDC's guidelines, what we're saying for now is we're going to ask everybody to wear a mask as they're entering the facility and as they're moving about within the facility. But for fully vaccinated people, once they're seated in their designated seating pod, we're calling it.
I see.
Isolated from other seating pods, they can take off their masks.
Oh, nice. Well, we're looking forward to all the concerts coming this summer. It'll be nice to hear our RPO again. And for more information, just visit the website.
That's right. You can find out information about our summer season and our plans for the 21-22 season at rpo.org, or you can call our box office at 585-454-2100.
And if someone would like to subscribe for an upcoming season, they can do that through the website as well.
Indeed you can. And we've got our Philharmonic series announced and our pop series announced and our Sunday matinees and orchestra.
Oh, the orchestra, yes.
Yes, and we also have a subscription package we call Compose Your Own. So you can pick and choose different concerts over the course of the year that particularly appeal to you and fit your schedule and build your own subscription out of those.
Well, Kurt, we have just a few more moments left. Anything else you'd like to add in our remaining moments?
Yeah, I just would like to add, again, our sense of gratitude to the community for sticking by the orchestra in these challenging times. Our musicians have showed great creativity, have found new ways to bring music to the community, and our donors and patrons have shown a fantastic loyalty to the orchestra. So thanks for your support. We're still here, and we're ready to get back to making live music, and we hope to see you outdoors over the summer in any one of several venues over the next 14 weeks.
Well, glad to have RPO back. Kurt Long, President and CEO of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, our guest on this segment of Rochester Speaks. Thanks for coming out, Kurt.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.